coming Lord is forever faithful. The never-ending affection and tenderness the Christ has for us is a gift that is unequaled. Praising the God who cares so deeply for all creation, we light this candle. Together, we will demonstrate and share the love of Christ.
Come, let us worship God together.
Thank you. Jesus comes that we might have life in all fullness if we would but turn to him. God forgives us through Christ. In a spirit of confession, let us turn to God to confess our separation, those things which we have done, those things which we have left undone in living as Christ commands. Let us pray first in silence and then joining together in unison. Loving God, we come to you distracted and unfocused, too full of ourselves and our own desires. Help us this morning clear our minds of worries and plans. Help us to let go of unkindness and any grudges we hold. Help us to look beyond our lives and to center ourselves in your goodness and grace. Like a loving and caring parent, O Lord, guide us to make choices that honor you. Remind us that we are your children who cry, Abba, Father, as we wait expectantly for the coming of Jesus this season. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, Create in Me, which is projected on the screen. And the greatest of these is love, Paul writes to the Corinthian community. God's love is poured out in the coming of Jesus to earth to walk with us the path to true life in God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Thank you.
Scripture exhorts us to cast our cares upon the Lord. Together, each week, we take some time to cast our cares, to lift up prayers of joy or concern, things that are on our hearts. I'm wondering what's on your heart today that you'd like prayers for. Just raise your hand. What would you like to lift up in prayer today? Gladys.
I'm asking for prayers for Andrew, who's traveled through Peru and Brazil, safe travels with his fellow students from Dartmouth.
Prayers for Andrew as he travels. Other prayers. Judy.
Walter didn't have treatment last week. It was a mistake. So he's having treatment tomorrow. And his daughter and son-in-law are flying in tomorrow as well. And we're in the process of moving to an apartment on the first floor. Same building.
It's a lot going on. We're praying for you and for Walter this week. Other prayers. Kathy.
Our family has a joy. Our daughter, Jamie, is turning 17 on Tuesday.
Happy birthday, Jamie. Early birthday. Hey, Sabina.
I've got both joy and concern. The joy is Nicole got into her first choice school that she did, Emory University. But the concern is we're waiting for the package deal, so she needs prayers for that.
Hey, Nicole, congratulations into Emory University, waiting on that financial aid. Praying for you. The prayer, Gloria.
Okay. Continued prayer for my friend Deborah, who just continues to get worse in the hospital, who's waiting for her lung transplant. And also for me, I'm having knee surgery on this Thursday for meniscus knee surgery.
You're having that this Thursday. We're praying for you this Thursday as you go in for that surgery, and for Deborah, continued prayers. There's Julie B. in the back.
I'd like to thank this congregation for all the prayers that they've given for my brother Jim down in Pennsylvania. He lives with cancer and a bad heart, but he really has a terrific spirit, and he's a real warrior in this case of his. And he is doing very well, and I like continued prayers for him. And also, Evelyn McCottle, who's been here about three times, she was here when she was a little girl, and now she has six children with her, and hopefully she will be continuing to come and giving us some more numbers in our Sunday school, which is growing and growing. Thank you.
Thanks. Prayers for Jim. Welcome, Evelyn, again. Hey, Greg.
Hi, I want to say thanks for your prayers last week for my cousin, because she actually made a big breakthrough this week, and she needed an extension at the hospital. She's dealing with OCD at McLean Hospital, and they were going to let her out this week, and if they let her out, she was a loss. So she got the extension and all the insurance money she needed, so your prayers came through. Jenny Rowe.
Praise God for that. We're praying for Jenny this week. Other prayers. April.
I'd like to ask prayers for my friend Lindsay this morning. Her son Gary was stillborn at 30 weeks this week, so she and her family are having a really tough time right now.
Lindsay, thanks. Prayers for Lindsay in this grief.
Thank you. I'd like to ask for prayers from our neighbor Hella, who passed away last night.
Thanks. For Hella and her family and friends, the passing. Other prayers. Elena.
Well, my request sounds ridiculous, I know, but don't pray for a lot of snow. Be specific, a little bit of snow, so we won't have a snowstorm. No, I'm serious.
Don't overdo it for the white Christmas. So you, okay.
Doesn't fit in my categories. Let us pray.
We seek you, great God, in the midst of a swirling world, this world which you have created, which you redeem, which you love. We give thanks, O God, for your signs of your presence, for the promptings of your grace and gift to spill over out of our own lives and worries to places of need. For the joys of blessing, we give you thanks. For Jamie's birthday, for Nicole and the future that holds for her in college, for Evelyn's presence again with us. We pray for our world, for those places still at war, even as we celebrate the return of troops from Iraq. We pray for those who remain all around our world in harm's way, for the work still needed for peace and rebuilding. We pray for all those who struggle in this season, for the homeless and unemployed, for those seeking to make Christmas at times where resources are stretched. We are grateful, O God, for the ways in which you have answered prayers in this season and in so many seasons of this church. We give thanks for signs of healing in our midst, for Jim and Julie's travel to him, for Jenny in her continuing recovery, for travel reunions and safe returns, even as we pray for all those who will be moving in so many directions this season. For Andrew as he returns home on Christmas Eve. We pray for those still in need of strength and special healing through this season, for Terry and Nicholas alongside her, for Marcus, for Walter and all of the world's swirling in his and Judy's life these days in the move, for Deborah, for Gloria. We pray for all those who face death and the loss of loved ones in this time. Remembering them and the families who have loved them, we lift up particularly this day, Lindsay and her family, and the Fitzgerald Foley's neighbor, Hella. We give thanks, O God, this day for the ways you call us together to make a difference in the lives of others, here and in our community and in our world. Help us to live always as your disciples, grateful for your power and spirit, for small snows which make all things new. Giving in wonder and in grace through this season, we give thanks to you, that we might live through your power in the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we celebrate this season, and in whose name we pray as he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite all the children in the congregation to come on forward. Good timing, Abigail. Come on down and find a place in the front. Hi. Hi, hi. Here they come. Sit on the pew, on the floor, either way. Sit on the chair. Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm Sarah. Hey, Theo. Hey, you sit right there. That's good. That's good. Get your spot. Come on down. Come on down, Malik. Hey, Damaris. Hey, Dinesia. All right. So, I have a surprise for you. Do you want to see it? Can anyone guess what the surprise might be? Yes. A hat. Good surprise. Good guess. Any other guesses? Yes. $1 million? No. A frisbee? That's a great guess, but no. Yeah. Tennis ball? Nope. All right. You want to see? Yes. One more. Candle, a church. These are good churchy guesses, but here's the surprise. It's Jesus. No, here's the surprise. It's always a good answer. Here's the surprise. Look under here. Look under here. Monkeys on my socks. What do you think of that? That's right. I was thinking of you when I was getting dressed this morning. Monkeys in a barrel in my socks. What are the surprises that you guys are looking forward to this Christmas? What are you looking forward to this week as a surprise or special? Some presents, yeah? Christmas? What's that? Monster trucks? Me too. What else? Yeah. Santa? What else? Yeah. Jesus' birth? Yeah. All these things. There's all kinds of surprises and special things going on this time of year. We look around the church. We see all the ribbons and the greens. We look at out. Everyone's dressed up nice, wearing red and green, getting cozy for the season. Christmas trees are decorated. All these things. They're all pointing us to something that we know is coming, right? It's not really a surprise that Jesus is going to be coming at Christmas. But you know what? When the first Christmas happened, it was a surprise. And the people 1 week before, like us, 1 week before Christmas, they didn't even know it was going to happen. They didn't know it would be such a special night. They didn't know what it would mean. So the good thing that we get to experience every year at this time is that we remember again what it will mean when Jesus comes. How much Jesus loves us, how God loves the world and gives Jesus to us at this time. So it's not a surprise, but it's something we're looking forward to more than monkeys on a socks. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to send you down to your classes, okay? Let's pray. God, thank you for your gifts to us this season. We pray for every one of these children, for the love that we seek to give them in your name in this church, for their families. Wrap us up like a present, O Lord. Wrap us up with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're all released to go down to your classes. The high school class will be meeting upstairs this week. Yes. Can I have that? Wow. You hold that.
The Old Testament lesson today is from 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 1 through 11, found on page 268 in your pew Bible, in the large print Bible, page 349, and on the screen. Now, when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people of Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house." New Testament lesson is from Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 33 and 37 to 38, found on page 53 in your pew Bibles and page 69 in the large print. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our middle hymn this morning will be number 2150, "Lord Be Glorified." It will also be projected on the screen and led by the worship band. You are invited to stand as we sing. Good morning. Here we are just 1 week away from the big day, and I'm wondering where you are in your Christmas preparations. Is your tree up? Is your house decorated? Is your Christmas shopping all done? Let's just see a quick show of hands this morning. How many of you are completely finished with all of your Christmas shopping for the season? Any saints? A few. A few. The rest of us have a ways to go. There's still some more shopping and preparation to do for this season. A friend of mine told me that last year at this time, she got her boyfriend a Christmas gift. It was a gift certificate for a set of workout sessions at the local gym with a personal trainer. Note to anyone buying gifts for significant others. This might not be the most appreciated gift. She said it's been a full year now, and he still has not used this gift certificate. He's not gone to the gym, and he is not in the kind of shape she expected him to be in. I wonder what that gift was really about. Was it a gift for him, or was it really a gift for her? We do this sometimes, don't we? We give people a gift that is something we think might be really thoughtful and meaningful, helpful, valuable, otherwise great, but really, it's not a gift so much for them as for us. It's not a gift that says something about who they are so much as who we want them to be, or who we are, or the things we value in our lives. Last year, for example, I got Lisa a present. And it's right here. It was this really cool fur-lined hat. Doesn't that look really nice? I saw it on sale at a street vendor, and it was all fur-lined, and it looked so cozy and comfy. I just had to buy it for her. And when she saw it, she didn't share my enthusiasm. She said, "That's a nice hat, Dave, but it's not really my style." And then she tried it on and said, "You know, it's not really my size either. It's a little bit too big." And she said, "Now, what's this gift all about?" And I said, "Well, I was only thinking of you. I've been wearing it ever since." Well, today we are looking at two Bible stories that I want to approach with you through this lens of giving and receiving gifts at Christmas time. That's our topic for the morning, giving and receiving gifts at Christmas time. And as we begin, let's pray. Oh God, you are the giver of every good gift. We turn to you this day. Open your scripture to us that it might speak. Open our ears that we might hear a word from you for our lives. All these things, through Christ we pray. Amen. I'm going to put this right up here for now. Good visual. Our reading this morning from the Old Testament comes from the book of 2 Samuel. And the story goes something like this. David has become king over all of Israel. He's gone from being a lowly shepherd boy chasing those dirty little sheep all around the wilderness, and he's risen as a national military hero. You remember he defeated the giant Goliath, and then he led the people of Israel against the armies of the Philistines, defeating them. He even took over the fortified city of Jerusalem from the Jebusites, and he renamed it after himself, the city of David. It became the capital of his fledgling administration. And he then built this beautiful palace made out of cedar, a very expensive and nice wood. And this is where we find him as our story begins, sitting in this capital city, king over all he surveys in a beautiful palace. And David is in a philosophical mood as he considers all the incredible things that have happened in his life. Not only is his professional life booming as a king, but his personal life. Chapter 7 records that he had many wives and concubines who bore him many sons and daughters. His life was full. In fact, he was only 30 years old when he became king over Israel, and he didn't know it at the time, but he would go on to reign for 40 years. And this was just the beginning. So David is sitting there in this palace built out of cedar, and he's considering the rosy future that is laid out before him. And in that moment, David decides that he wants to give God a gift. He wants to do something nice for God, and he figures he has just the right thing. You know, it's that age-old question, what to get for the God in your life who has everything? Well, David has the answer. He decides to build God a place to live, a house of worship, a temple. And this seems like a pretty good idea, like a really thoughtful gift. Of course, if building a royal temple right next to your royal, or a holy temple right next to your royal palace, were to bring together both throne and altar with all of their authority and power, well, all the better. It's one of those win-win kind of gifts, you know, like a gym membership or for a hat. David wants to be the one who builds this great temple for God. He wants to be in control. But there's one little problem with David's big gift-giving idea. God hates it. God says, "Who asked you to build me a temple? This wasn't even on my wish list." Who is this gift really for? Is it for me, or is it for you? Is it about my glory, or is it about your reflected glory that you hope to receive? As David's kingship begins, the question that needed to be answered was this: who is going to be in charge? Who is going to direct and guide David's life and his kingship and his leadership, his stewardship over the people of Israel? Will it be David, or will it be God? And this is the question that each one of us faces as well, because we share this same impulse with David, to be the one who gives, the one who is in control, the benefactor, the patron, the gift giver. So it's a question for us this morning. Now, none of us here are kings or queens, as far as I know. Just in case, though, we are still receiving pledge cards this morning, so remember that. But none of us is in David's place as a king or queen who has it all, but we still face this same question: who will guide and direct our lives, our families, our relationships, our jobs, our studies, our hearts, souls, mind, and strength? Like David, we seek to show that we are the ones in ultimate control. We are the ones in position to build what we want to build, to give what we want to give, to exhibit to all who see us that we are strong. We even say it to our children. Now remember, kids, it's always better to give than to receive. And when talking about human relationships, where being generous is a way to bless someone in your life or show your love or appreciation for someone else, this is probably true. It is better to give than receive. But when it comes to our relationship with God, when thinking theologically about our lives, it turns out that this conventional wisdom has it exactly backwards. This conventional wisdom is exactly backwards. And this is the great reversal of our story. God completely flips things around and tells David, "You aren't the one who will build me a house. Instead, I am the one building you into a house. You aren't the one who's in control. You are the one who will trust in me, the one who will guide your life." God says, "I'm the one building your life, your kingship, your family, your heart for other people, your reservoirs of hope, your resources for love. You aren't the one who's giving, David. You're the one who's receiving. We aren't the ones giving. When it comes to God, we're the ones who receive." This is the gospel. That we are not the ones who give, but the ones who receive. To receive the Christ child this Christmas, to receive those good tidings of great joy, to receive the grace and mercy and love of our God. Have you ever noticed that the Christmas story is not really about giving? It's actually all about receiving. Just think back with me for a moment and you'll see what I mean. There were those shepherds, and they received a message from a heavenly host of angels. They received the good news that Jesus is born. And then they're the wise men. Someone told me this week that he didn't think the wise men were actually very generous with their gifts. And this surprised me. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Think about it. That was a combined Christmas and birthday present." Okay. Those wise men also received. They've been watching the skies for their whole lives, waiting for this incredible event, and they receive the gift of having their hope fulfilled. They were stargazers, and they got to see that brightest star of all at its rising. And then there's Mary. She's the focus of our New Testament scripture reading from this morning. Mary exemplifies the way that Christmas is about receiving a gift rather than giving it. We remember that Mary was visited by an angel who tells her of the impending birth of Jesus. And she's shocked and surprised, and we all know that part of the story. But then Mary receives the news. She takes in the message. She accepts what the angel is saying. And she responds in faith and says, "May it be to your servant as you have said." All of the people in these stories receive from God a message, an announcement, a sign, a son. And they receive from God. As they receive from God, they are also moved to respond. This is the pattern for Christian living. This is the way of the gospel in our lives. We are the ones who receive grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. God has richly blessed us in our lives, not because of anything we've done, like building a temple for God or giving God a gift, but because of God's all-encompassing and gracious love. And the call of Christmas, the call to us this year, is to receive it. To receive this good news again today. We are being reoriented, you see, by these two stories. One about a king who has everything and who wanted to be in control. And the other about Mary, the young girl who had nothing, and yet who trusted God to guide her life. These stories of giving and receiving return us again to that deep and fundamental question of our lives: who will be in charge? Who will reign and rule over us? Will it be us ourselves, or will we let it be our God? And if it is to be God, if we do receive this good news and let God to begin to work in our lives, to direct us and guide us, to show us the steps to take along this path or journey we call life, then it frees us to respond. It opens us to new possibilities. Our giving in this season then becomes a response to God's gracious action toward us. God's first action, God's initiative. David wanted to take that initiative away from God to show what he could do. It's not the way of Christians who follow the grace of our God. We understand God's grace to be first toward us, God's gift to be bountiful in our lives. And our response then, our gracious and grateful response, is to live lives of faith, hope, and trust. We don't depend on our own generosity or goodness or glory, but we respond to God, relying again on God's goodness and God's grace for God's glory. That is the great reversal of Christmas. I hope that you will join me this week in receiving it anew. Amen.
Let us stand for the affirmation of faith, which is taken from the Gospel of John and is one of my favorites from the scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. they have received so much from God. At this time, let us respond to him by bringing our gifts and offerings so that through this church we may do the will of God and enable others to receive.
يا رب انا فعلا بشكرك على كل نور احفظ لي قلبي وافكاري حتى في النوم وبكر ملكك مشايل اي هموم والمجد لاسمك في الوقت وفي كل يوم باسم المسيح آمين. يا رب انا فعلا بشكرك على كل نور احفظ لي قلبي وافكاري حتى في النوم وبكره ملكك مشايل اي هموم والمجد لاسمك في الوقت وفي كل يوم باسم المسيح امين امين.
Thank you for all that we have received from you. We dedicate these offerings so that your will may carry forward in this world and in this community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please remain standing for our final hymn today, number 2195, In the Lord I'll Be Ever Thankful. We'll sing it through three times, and it'll be projected on the screen as well. After the benediction, you are invited to stay seated here for the congregational meeting, which will be very brief, to consider the terms of call for the pastors in the coming year. If you're a visitor with us or new to the congregation, you're welcome to get started on coffee hour. We hope to join you very quickly. Now go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil, but support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all persons, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Like to call to order this meeting of the congregation, and I believe I see a quorum, and I believe our clerk should be here shortly. So let us pray. God of grace and glory, we have been richly blessed. We give you thanks for the ways in which you call us together and the ways in which you send us forth. Gather us in this time as we consider your call in our lives, as we consider these terms of call. Be with us, we pray, that all that we do and all that we are may be a response to your grace in our lives. In Christ we pray. Amen. Would like to call forward Judy Babcock, the chair of the Personnel Committee, who is here to bring the new terms of call. And thank you to our college students who passed out those terms of call. Hopefully most of you have received them. Judy.
Good
Yeah, okay. I think so. I want to thank the members of the Personnel Committee, which includes Bob Smanek, Judy Kawamoto, Judy Blackadar, and Brooke Moles for the work that they have done that we need to do as a Personnel Committee. You have all received here the proposed terms of call, and I want to give some explanations. The first thing is that we now find that our finances are in pretty good shape, amazingly. Some of us remember when at the end of a month we might have $29 in the checking account. And the session meeting the beginning of this month, we had $20,000 in the checking account. We have, in the past few years, been giving just a token pay increase to our staff because we recognize the good work that they do, but we didn't have the funds to do anything more. This year, we believe that we can give our staff members a 5% increase in their salaries. Now, when you look at the terms of call and you think of your own salary, what's included in these terms of call are all the benefits that when you're looking at your salary, you don't see. You know how much you take home, how much the total amount is, how much you take home after taxes, but you don't see how much that you're getting in benefits for where you work. But what the church requires is that we include this. In terms of the salary and housing, the pastors determine how much they want in cash salary and how much they want to go to their housing because it is a tax benefit to them to have more in their housing. We also need to include their medical insurance, their pension, death and disability, and so forth. In terms of auto travel, we have not changed Chris's amount, which is $1,250. But Dave has not been asking for reimbursement.